Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Clint Ruckus.
And we got a full show. Brian Keller is out, I think, in Australia.
Rumor is he got deported finally.
Yeah, so that should be good. I'm excited. Let's get started. You know, big news first here. Just jump to this. Kinect for Windows 1.7 SDK is here. So that means Kinect Fusion is available and what's called Kinect Interaction. So these are a series. There's an API that allows you to do things like interactions. And if you can see just a couple of those, for example, like a tap and hold. And so you can, for example, move a map around. One of the other ones is to be able to zoom in, zoom out. They talk about specifically a press and so on. So there's some cool gestures there. And of course, Kinect Fusion, which you can see on the right side, basically allows you to use the Kinect sensor to capture 3D data and actually build 3D models. And this is, again, a fraction of the cost that it would take to do high-end 3D models. So you can actually do things like, for example, use it for a 3D printer.
Yeah, yeah. The cool thing is those are exportable. Mm-hmm. So you can actually get standard, I think it's a STL file straight out.
Yeah.
I think one or two other formats. So, I mean, great job by the Kinect team.
Yeah, and they have a number of samples as well that show off a lot of the new stuff, new and improved things in Kinect for Windows. So,
yep.
Cool stuff. So, next story, what is this?
So, Windows Azure has some new goodies there. They have a Hadoop service, plus HTML5 and JS with PhoneGap support, Mercurial, and Dropbox support. So the cool thing for me with the Mercurial and Dropbox support is now you can just instantly deploy to Azure just by dropping some files into like your Dropbox folder, click sync, and it just magically goes up.
I think that's awesome. That's for websites, though.
Yes.
Windows Azure websites.
Yes. And then you also have an HTML5 JS client for mobile services and all that good stuff. I mean, they did a lot
of
cool
work. And
the
portable library support seems pretty cool, too.
Yes. Yes. That was with mobile services with the Phone 7.5 portable libraries that just recently got released.
Mm-hmm.
Update, so now you can do async and all that good stuff with the portables.
Right. And last thing, of course, is HD Insight, which is Hadoop.
Yes.
Hadoop clusters on Azure. So very cool.
Cool.
Lots of stuff to play with. So another one, so people learning web apps, what's this exactly?
So Signaler, or SignalR, I still don't know the
SignalR.
SignalR, okay, thank you. Is a basically kind of like a way to do real-time communication without actually polling. So asynchronous data exchange between the server and the client in real time. So the example is a chat app. So rather than having your clients poll every 5 seconds or et cetera, one client sends it out, the rest of them get it received without having to poll.
So it's more like an eventing model.
Yeah, I think that would be an excellent way to put it. So this is a free book, ebook on SignalR, so I would highly suggest if you're interested in learning it and checking it out, go head over.
Cool. So next one, this is, you want to talk about nerdy, James McCaffrey, who's a PhD, talks about machine learning techniques and specifically neuron behavior with what are called perceptrons. And the idea is you can actually go through and find out, use biology and how we do things like pattern recognition. And he's built a sample app that actually has a number of weights and formulas that you can do things for the equivalent of learning. So for example, you give, and actually I'll show the screen, in the bottom right corner, you see a console that has A, B, C, D, and E written out. And that's basically your learning, where you say B is the letter that you're actually looking for, and the other ones are not the letter you're looking for. And what it can do is you can give it a partial B, and it can do things, for example, like give you, hey, based on this, the probability that this is the correct letter is, say, 80%.
That's cool.
So it's like pattern recognition. And the nice thing is it's available as a library. The library itself can be reused across different platforms because it doesn't take a dependency. Because, again, this is, you know, using a console app, but you can use it wherever. So some pretty interesting things that you can do. And, of course, this is like just touching the surface on what's possible with machine learning. But I love articles like this, so it's definitely a cool one.
Yep.
So what is Aviary?
So Aviary is a new SDK by the by aviary.com. And the cool thing is now they have Phone 8 and Windows 8 support for their SDK. They have free SKU, enterprise level, and there's one more SKU in the middle. I can't remember.
Okay.
But, cool thing here is basically if you want to do photo editing or applying certain filters, et cetera, their control just takes care of it. You don't have to. Everything is abstracted away for you as the end developer. You don't have to worry about filters. Doing the perf. It's just they take care of it all.
Yeah, if you're building a photo sharing application or any application that happens to use images and you want your users to say, take a picture of this or that, it's so much easier to say, oh yeah, use our tool, rather than you mentally having to go through and do colorization techniques, cropping,
yes.
brightness, all that stuff. This is awesome.
So, yeah, cool.
So, DXH, this is actually by Kenny Kerr, who has a Pluralsight Direct2D Fundamentals class on this. It is basic. Think of it as the best way to think of it as a simplified way to use DirectX, right? So it's not like it's a wrapper that completely changes the way you do DirectX. It just makes it a lot easier to do DirectX.
Yep.
So sort of the same boilerplate things, etc., that you could do. So there's certainly a focus on Direct2D, but you can use this for a Direct3D, DirectWrite, the Windows imaging components, and so on. So lots of cool stuff there, and that's kind of the high level. So if you're looking to do DX, this is probably your shortcut, if you will,
to do that. And Brian Peake made us aware of that. So
give him a shout out. Giovanni's friend, sure.
Okay, so up next is Meteor. And it's a framework for building single-page applications. And the interesting thing here is it does. They really want to talk about the two big features. Is one is live HTML. So if something happens on the server, the clients all get updated along with updating on the client. They call it like what was the features? What do they call it? Latency compensation.
Ooh,
I know. So basically, when you modify data on the client, that appears on the client before it appears on the, before it fully gets uploaded to the servers. So it makes everything look smoother, I guess, for the end client.
Yeah, assuming, the server doesn't time out and they lose their data. I swear it said saved. This is very cool, though.
Yeah.
The single page apps are certainly pretty big right now. So.
Yes, definitely.
Cool stuff.
Cool. Next.
So this is an application called Interference. So if you want to switch to it, we can. Thank you. The point was it was somebody who started building an application originally for a Windows Phone and actually decided to port the app. And the idea is kind of like, you're given something to draw, and then people can kind of upvote and do different drawings. And again, the app works great because it works on Phone to Windows 8. And probably one of the coolest things is he said he learned using the Absolute Beginner series for Windows Phone 7, which is awesome, and kudos to Bob Tabor for that stuff. So he walked through in kind of the different things and some of the things to do, but the app ended up getting featured in the MSDN in the UK Windows Store for the holidays, which is kind of awesome. So kudos, and always love hearing kind of these behind the scenes stories on how apps get made.
Yep.
Which brings us to
Picks of the Week.
So my pick of the week is the treat your kids like a team of agile software developers and lower your family stress.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Because I'm on your team and we do act like children.
We use agile and we're certainly not lower. Maybe our stress would be worse.
True.
Our stress would be worse. We don't have a way to. So this is actually a TED video that ended up getting on Lifehacker by Bruce Feiler. And one of the funny things was there was a survey, and basically the survey was, hey, what kids, what is it that you'd want to change for your parents? And all the parents thought it was like spending more time. Like the parents thought the kids are going to say they want to spend more time with us. And really they wanted their parents to be less tired and less stressed. of which, like, double guilty. And I'm sure a lot of parents feel that way just from, like, going there. So the idea here is to use agile development so kids have a voice and feedback, kids are taken to task and are given responsibilities and so on. So
you have your daily stand-ups and...
right, at the breakfast nook? That'd be hilarious. So knowing as a guy that literally does have a simple product backlog with me and the wife, this is hilarious and something I clearly need to get little Gavin going on so he can build his estimations.
It's sad I have that for myself. I need to do all these things.
Forever alone. No, just kidding.
Oh buzzing! Okay, next up.
When you said it like myself, it sounds very forever alone. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Yes.
I know you're not alone. We're not going to go there.
Anyways,
your pick of the week.
My pick of the week is the Kodu Game Challenge for Imagine Cup. So those in the past, Imagine Cup is a contest that Microsoft runs. It's basically students for around the world get to compete against one another to build applications. The Kodu Challenge is for students ages 9 to 18, and basically you get to use...
9 to 12, it looks like, for the prizes. Or just reading that slide.
Oh, well, ahem. I misspoke.
Okay, good.
And the key thing here is you can, you know, there's cash prizes. Actually, no, it's two age brackets.
Oh, 13 through 18. So that way the 9-year-old yes. isn't competing against the 18-year-old.
Yes.
That makes sense. That's nice.
Also, on top of just the Kodu Challenge, the Magic Cup team also has a Women Athletics App Challenge, which challenges female students to build a fitness-related app. And one of the prizes there is they get flown to Seattle and get to meet with the WNBA team in Seattle, whose name escapes me.
Storm.
The Storm. And also get to meet with Lisa Brummel for
cool.
the Microsoft chief executive or HR person.
I think she actually owns the Storm or something, or part owner.
I believe you are correct on that.
So very cool. I'm sure that would be like total VIP access too. So lots of cool stuff.
Yes.
And thank you, Glenn, for joining us. And
thank
we'll see
you
all next week. Thanks.